It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gutfeld. This is The One. My guest today is a wonderful person. He's the best-selling author, columnist, nationally syndicated radio talk show host, and he started his own university, Prager University. He's got a new documentary out with Adam Carolla called No Safe Spaces, which I watched and enjoyed thoroughly. Dennis, how are you?
Wow. I'm telling you, it's too bad my mother's not alive to hear your introduction.
Oh, well, my mother's not alive either, but I imagine they're both sitting somewhere together listening to this podcast.
And just enjoying their sons.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything that the left touches, it ruins, which is a perfect segue for your documentary. Huh? How do you like that? I'm a professional.
You certainly are, actually. You crack me up. You do, which is a big deal. And by the way, Adam Carolla cracks me up, too, I got to tell you. You're in very high company there.
Well, high is the key word. You kind of bring it up in the documentary. How did you and Adam become pals? Did he seek you out or did you seek him out?
Well, it's a very funny thing because it's in the movie as well, because it really isn't just a documentary. It's really a docudrama. It's really a movie. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary about something, which is the suppression of free speech at universities, which is a frightening development in American history and unprecedented. But it's also a story, it's a story. It's about us. Adam just gets such a big kick out of saying, if you were to blindly take 300 million names, we would be the last two that would ever be bonded in people's minds.
Right.
Because so different backgrounds. He comes, a lower class, non-educated, atheist, Italian background. I come from a religious Jewish intellectual background. Him on the West Coast, me on the East Coast, but we have everything in common. So yes, he had apparently not. He had been listening to my radio show for many years, which obviously I'm flattered by. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and it's on film, something to the effect, Dennis had no clue who I was, but on the other hand, if he did, I probably wouldn't have admired him as much.
Right. that goes back to that old, like, I wouldn't want to be part of a club that.
But he's worthy of knowing. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have this worry, and this movie is an alarm.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a wake-up call to America. Folks, for the first time in American history, free speech is threatened.
Right. And I think a lot of us just take it for granted. But you say it in the movie that the free speech is unique to America. So it's not like it's set in stone. And we're seeing a whole new generation of people who actually believe it shouldn't be set in stone. That you can police language. It's really frightening. And you cover a lot of the bases. I mean, you have the Lindsay Shepherd story. You talked to Jordan Peterson and that phenomenon, which is incredible. You have the Evergreen experience. I mean, it's amazing. And you show some of the ploys that are actually working against free thought, one of them being the security ploy, which now they're using regularly against conservative speakers. Can you explain a little bit of that?
Specifically, one of my favorite lines, and by the way, it's so good, and I don't take credit for being good. I'm in it, but I didn't make it. The people who made it made such a good movie. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite lines is Ben Shapiro at the end of a speech at Berkeley said, and that needed $600,000 in security?
Exactly.
Yes. No. Do you realize how that? Why doesn't that scare people?
Yeah.
Berkeley had to spend $600,000 to prevent a young yarmulke-wearing Jew from speaking.
Yeah.
If we heard about this, let's say it was said about Poland or Germany, Polish university spent $600,000 to protect a religious Jew from speaking. We'd say, "Oh well, oh God, there must be so much anti-Semitism." That's leftism in America for you. Leftism in America is our hate group.
Yeah.
The Europeans have theirs. We have ours.
Mm-hmm. But they operate under kind of this, I guess you would call it a Trojan horse, of being the opposite of hate, of being hyper-tolerant, inclusive. But what they're doing is they're dividing people up into their intersectional compartments, which is essentially turning everybody against each other. And this, I mean, I think this was also might have been stated in the documentary that this is a bigger threat. Identity politics in general, which is fueling this, is a bigger threat than communism because we're going to end up destroying ourselves.
Well, I studied – it's really ironic. I chose as my field of expertise in graduate school communist affairs. That's mm-hmm. what it was called. I studied under Brzezinski at Columbia University.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned Russian. I mean, I was really into studying communism and communist countries. And I remember when the Berlin Wall fell, I thought, "Ooh, it's a good thing I didn't enter that field. I'd be unemployed today."
Yes.
But it turns out that I majored in exactly the right subject.
Mm-hmm.
Because understanding the left is the most important thing we could do to save Western civilization. And I want you to know that I did not know until maybe 5 years ago, at the most recent, that it is almost impossible to explain leftism.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit me why. If you ask a Christian, what do you believe in? What book should I read? Here's the Bible.
Yeah.
Ask a Jew. Here's the Bible. Ask a Muslim. Here's the Quran. Ask a leftist. What book should I read to understand you?
Mm-hmm.
There is none.
Yeah.
They're not going to give you Karl Marx's Das Kapital. For nobody reads it. It's unreadable. And it's only about economics anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you explain that people will say men can menstruate? This is the latest leftist theme.
Right.
Men, I said it on the Bill Maher show and they laughed and laughed. But of course, it's all over the internet. Men menstruate.
Yeah.
So how do you, and it finally hit me, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
They are a force of chaos.
Yeah.
That's all they are, mm-hmm. is chaos.
You know, you should have said they put the men in menstruate. That would have got a really good laugh. But, you know, that's an after-the-fact joke. But you know what that is? I think this, you know, Douglas Murray's book, Madness of Crowds, has a great chapter on the trans movement. And in within the LGBTQ, I don't even know if I got them in the right order. In that world, it's fracturing because it can't hold together because the trans movement is now basically saying that they trump gays and lesbians. And it's kind of becoming a pernicious influence among families because they are saying if a child has certain qualities that they should switch genders. I mean, that's it. We're going into every time I think we're going into dangerous territory, we find new territory that's even more dangerous.
Because that's exactly right. That's the theory of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end. And it's true. I first realized it. My avocation is I conduct orchestras. I'm very heavily involved in music.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've studied music a lot of my life. I don't know if it started with music, but it was one of the earliest examples where they came up, it was sort of left-wing within the musical world.
Mm-hmm.
Musicians came up with the idea of atonal music.
Interesting.
All music, though, is tonal.
Right.
Almost by definition.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, and it has melody, it has harmony, and it goes according to a certain key. It can shift keys, but it's still in another key. This is without key and without melody and without harmony, but it's still called music.
Mm-hmm. That is – so what you're saying is just about in any kind of arena where there is a – I would say like a system of – what they do is they upend it and then they say that is the future. But is
that's right?
Yeah,
that's right. Everything is upended. That is exactly right.
Is there any?
That is why they hate us. They hate conservatives because conservatives, among other things, enjoy the present.
Right.
They hate the present.
Mm-hmm.
There are happy liberals, unhappy liberals, happy conservatives, unhappy conservatives. But every leftist is unhappy.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a happy leftist. A happy leftist becomes a liberal or a conservative.
Is it called anhedonia? I'm trying to think. It's a disorder in which you can't experience pleasure.
Yes, that's right. Yes, exactly. Anhedonic. That's right.
Anhedonic.
Yes.
So we have to come up with a phrase. I kind of said it on the five, but I didn't get it down right. There has to be something called like cultural anhedonia. Is it anhedonia? Is that how you say it? Cultural anhedonia. Is
No. Anhedonia is probably – anhedonic is the adjective. I assume anhedonia would probably be the noun.
Yeah, anhedonia. So it's like cultural anhedonia, which where – or American anhedonia, where you cannot be happy with the pleasures and the pursuits that are found in the greatest country ever. Maybe that's a title for a book.
Yes. Hmm. That's an excellent summary of the condition. And it does something else. And I've written a book on happiness, and I do an hour a week since 1999. An hour of my radio show a week is on happiness. Mm-hmm. And one of the rules of happiness is this. It is not possible, literally not possible, to be happy if you're not grateful. Mm. And the essence of leftism is ingratitude.
Right.
I'm not grateful for you name it. And number one, being an American.
Mm-hmm. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
This problem with identity politics is that somebody of a different identity could be far luckier than you are and still have be told that they have to to express ingratitude because that's how you belong to this specific identity group. You have to have ingratitude even if you have a great education or you're a great athlete or you have a great family. It doesn't matter. You have – if you're part of that identity group, you must be oppressed. And
look at Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and conversely, you could be a poor white kid.
What did Colin Kaepernick lack?
Mm. He had great parents who adopted him, right?
Yes, great parents. White parents, one might add, who loved him, mm-hmm. gave him a great upbringing. He made millions of dollars, became a national star. What did he lack? What white had a good? How many whites had as good a life as he did?
You know what it is, though? It really. I think when people get a lot of success and then they get bored. And then they start seeking.
You have hit if this were the Groucho Marx show, the bird would come down. You said the magic word. I have a bunch of theories, or if you will, equations about life. Here's one. Affluence plus secularism equals boredom. That's my theory. That's it. Affluence plus secularism.
That's pretty good. That's scary math, but it's true.
Yes, that's what they see. You could be affluent. See, religious people who are affluent, they're not bored. Mm. Poor people who are secular are not bored. They have to find the next meal.
Right.
But if you have affluence and no religion, mm-hmm. then you are bored, and you will have to create a religion. And leftism is secular religion.
Mm-hmm. You're kind of explaining Silicon Valley in a way.
Yeah, tremendous that's wealth. Right. That's the Vatican.
Yeah, tremendous wealth plus kind of a spiritual ambivalence creates a legion of young, super wealthy men, primarily men, seeking life extension remedies for a life that they can't stand.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, and I think the male female thing is the first opportunity we have to warn the average American about this chaos that's taking mm-hmm. place. Most Americans do not think that biological males should be allowed to compete with biological females in races.
Mm-hmm. And why isn't it? Like, why is the media so frightened of that whole area? Because it's so obvious. It's such an obviously an important story. And you hear female athletes complaining, but the moment they complain, it just goes dead. I mean, I think Martina Navratilova was like the first person to pop her head up and say something about it. And it didn't do her any favors.
Well, no, it's worse than that. Martina Navratilova, one of the tennis stars in female tennis history, is a gay woman, and she has been a major activist on behalf of LGBT and or LGBTQ, if you will, and but then said, you know what, I just got to say, it's not fair that males can who identify as females can compete against females. She was kicked out of the movement.
Right.
They are communists. They heresy is death.
Yeah.
And so not they don't put you in a firing squad yet, but they will ruin your life. And that's what they've tried to do to her and to any other person who spoke up. There's another lesson to be learned here. Feminist groups, this I've known my whole life. Feminism is as interested in protecting women as communists were in protecting workers. The feminist movement is a left-wing movement that uses women. Communism is a left-wing movement that uses workers. The civil rights movement has become a left-wing movement that uses blacks. So they don't care about blacks. I mean, obviously, because a black conservative is dirt, even no matter how much good they have done for black people and for America. So the feminists have said nothing. Feminist movements have said nothing on behalf of all of these girls in high schools in Connecticut who lose races to biological men.
Isn't there aren't there a few feminists that are speaking up, though, because the trans activism is so intense that there if you don't toe the line? I mean, I think it was Jermaine Greer. I'm trying to think of one. There was some noted feminist who said
Jermaine Greer is one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember, of course, there are individual feminists.
Right.
However, no feminist movement, no feminist. Has the National Organization for Women spoken up?
No. Are you seeing any hope that there are young minds that are going to be pushing back, like in general, all of this nonsense that you cover in No Safe Spaces? Are they, I mean, part of it is humor and sarcasm that people, like the phrase safe spaces has become laughable and the object, the target of mockery. That is positive. That has to be a positive sign. So that there might be a turn. You're seeing comedians like Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle. And I mean, obviously Adam Carolla was there first. You're seeing the Joe Rogans of the world, the Dave Rubens, the intellectual dark web. You're seeing all this kind of stuff fomenting not in a very civil manner. Does that give you hope?
I know the hesitation is not what your listeners are dying to hear.
I could have driven a truck through that hesitation.
Yes, because I don't listen. This has been an ongoing internal debate, and I've said it to my listeners. I will never give you false hope. You will know what I believe.
Yeah.
So I have two answers. Yes, there is hope, but as a great story you will love, an Israeli a rabbi in Israel that I used to stay in his home in my 20s when I'd visit Israel. He was sort of a mentor to me. Told me a great story. In the beginning of Israel, it was a socialist country. So he'd go to the Ministry of Communications. He went there one day for a phone.
Yeah.
And the guy says, okay, sir, you'll have it in 6 months. So he said, so I said to the guy, I'm just curious, is there any hope I could get it sooner? And the guy said to me, sir, there's always hope. There's no chance. So whenever anybody asks me, is there any hope? I think of that damn story.
Yes. On that upbeat note, though,
yes, there is hope, but you got to fight.
Yes. Well,
that's if we fight, we'll win. But not enough people on our side fight. They don't want to fight. People are, our side wants to be left alone, right? Conservatives basically leave me alone. I have a happy life.
Right.
I want to be with my kids, my grandkids, do my hobbies, go to my church. That's right. Leave us alone. So they don't. Most conservatives are not fighters, but you're seeing finally there is some movement. One of the things people should do is watch this movie. And I know it's self-serving. I don't give a hoot. I didn't make it to be self-serving. I'm not a movie star. I'm not an actor. This is very important. People will see this. They will leave shaking. Oh my God! I didn't realize what's happening.
Yeah. Where can people see the movie?
Just go to nosafespaces.com. It'll tell you which city, when it is rolling out. and hopefully eventually everywhere.
Yeah.
NoSafeSpaces.com.
I heartily recommend it. I would prefer to watch it again.
Correct. That's right.
Dennis.
You're a joy, my friend.
I am. You the same. I love the documentary. I love your show. I love PragerU. And keep doing what you do.
I am. Thanks a million, and the same to you.
Say hello to Adam for me.
Okie dokie.
Take care.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.